Hello to our listeners. Welcome back to the Women Governance Trailblazers podcast, where we listen to the journeys of trailblazing women in the corporate governance field, their passions, struggles, and commitment to improving how companies and boards function. My name is Liz Dunshee, and my co-host is Courtney Camlett.
Hi, everyone.
Courtney and I are both passionate about governance, and we want to spotlight some of the trailblazing women who share that passion. We are connecting with guests from different paths and industries to hear their perspectives on what surprised them in their career and where they think the field of corporate governance is going. For this episode, we are talking with Mary Rose Sylvester, who has significant experience as an executive and as an independent director and board committee member. Mary Rose currently serves on the boards of Vontier, Flex, Waste Management, and Harley-Davidson. So clearly, she is a very busy woman. And among other roles, Mary Rose spent more than 30 years at General Electric in various leadership positions, including as president and CEO of GE Current, president and CEO of GE Lighting, and president and CEO of GE Intelligent Platforms, which focused on industrial automation. We are very excited to be talking with you today, Mary Rose. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Liz and Courtney. It's so good to be here with you and all of your guests. Appreciate the opportunity.
It's great to have you. And Mary Rose, you've held leadership roles in a number of high-profile companies, including General Electric and ABB, with a focus on technology, innovation, and automation. And you now sit on the boards of several public companies in very diverse industries. Tell us about your transition from the corporate world to the public company board world and how you evaluate board service opportunities.
I've just been so fortunate to have the career that I've had and to have the experiences I've collected over time and really the people I've had the opportunity to work with. As Liz said, I worked for GE for over 30 years. I started as an intern in the motors business in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and really built a deep domain in supply chain where I spent the first half of my career, including time in Europe, building supply chains for different parts of GE. In the back half of my career, the opportunity to lead different really tech industrial businesses. So I really went deep in leadership, operations, technology, industrial, and loved being an operating leader, all the opportunities and challenges, and the opportunity to really work for a company that was all about performance and leadership development. I just got great leadership development opportunities. One of those opportunities was when I was a CEO of my last business, Current, powered by GE, was to serve as an outside director for Harley-Davidson. And we were doing it as an experiment because GE long had a policy that our operating leaders could not serve on an outside board, but they were testing the thought that having these kind of outside experiences would help us to become stronger operating leaders. And I was so fortunate to be selected really in that one of the first few to do it. And so I started my role with Harley-Davidson and really had an opportunity to realize what it feels like to be a director for an outside company and not have that deep, deep domain and really play the totally different role. And I did that for 5 to 6 years while I was still a GE operating leader. And then when I knew I kind of served 31, 32 years at GE, a little bit of time at ABB, traveled the world on airplanes constantly and sleepless nights running businesses, I felt like I wasn't done yet. I had a lot of years left in me. I had a young one still at home and I wanted to still contribute, but I wanted to try something different and just test myself in new ways and really kicked around this idea of doing more director roles and advisory roles. And that's what I've been doing. And I've tried to be quite thoughtful on how to put the right portfolio together and really try to evaluate opportunities where definitely I can bring something. So for me, that's the first thing you have to be able to contribute something. So I really look for companies that could leverage my supply chain experience because I am very deep there. My global experience, my strategic experience. So it's kind of the domain piece. And then it was the industry. And I really gravitate towards industrial and technology businesses. And then really, I look for businesses that are struggling or have the opportunity to go through some kind of transformation, as every business I've led has been about operating in a changing world, whether it's a technology shift or an industry shift. And I always loved leading businesses and teams to the other side to really reach, I would say, more potential. So it was those three things for sure. And then the fourth, and I've learned this over and over again, is culture. And I would say chemistry is incredibly important. The culture of the board and how the board operates, how the boards run, and the way the directors interact. And even more importantly, relationship with the CEO and a strong CEO that likes to work with the board and wants to build the right relationship, or you can have that give and take to help an enterprise reach its full potential. So to me, it's really all four of those things. And so I've kind of built this portfolio where They've all fit together. What I am fortunate enough to say that, which I find really exciting, is that two of my boards are chaired by women, and one of them, the CEO, is a woman. So that's also a big plus for me.
That's fantastic. And yes, culture is a huge piece of board service. And I know that I spent time with you on the volunteer side, and I can definitely tell how much culture impact you have.
It's so important, the culture of the company, just the way the board interacts, the respect you show to each other, and are you really there to add value? And I think I've learned a lot over the years about the difference between being a director and being an operating leader.
Yeah. Well, your experiences are clearly very valuable in today's world. What traits do you think help women successfully serve on a board? And how do you keep yourself updated and informed on the latest trends and developments in both the industries of the boards that you're sitting on and just the broader business environment?
That's a very good question. I think, and again, I think oftentimes the traits of being a good director can be slightly different than being a good operating leader because your role is very different.
Yeah.
I think the skills that help women and anyone, really for that matter, is that you have to be an incredibly good listener. There's so much information coming at you, and your job is to listen, to be very comfortable with listening more than speaking. That's a different skill set than when you're running a company, right? You have to be a good listener. You have the ability to digest it, synthesize it. You have to be able to ask, not ask a lot of questions, but figure out how to ask the important questions that are really going to raise the value of the discussion. You oftentimes have to ask clarification questions because you need to understand what you're hearing. But most importantly, you have to figure out how to ask questions that are going to be value added for the problem that's trying to be solved. You have to be able to frame a question in a way that's going to elevate the discussion too. And this is an art that I'm still working on, right? Is how not to, when to ask the question, and what kind of tone are you using? How do you ask in a way that others can kind of put their thoughts on it? And the other thing I've learned is you have to know when you're really going to push and when you're really going to say, okay, my job here is I'm going to align. I'm good enough here. And you all know, I see things differently. I've learned something in this discussion, so I'm going to get behind what you just said. I think a big thing is what you learn also is there are times when you have to learn how to disagree without being disagreeable, and how to say, look, here's my point, and I'm gonna hold my ground here on this one, and here's why. Happy to hear a counterpoint. And so you keep it open for more dialogue, but to be clear on the record that this is just something I can't get behind, or I'm not ready to get there yet. So you don't come across as someone unwilling to align or to coordinate, but also to trust your instinct when you feel like there's something you're not just quite ready to support yet. So I think there's those skills, and they would be different than what I would tell you would be the skills that I felt helped me to be a long-serving operating leader. So I say those. And then in terms of like how to keep yourself up to speed, there's just so much that you need to be current on. So for sure, there's the you need to know the company. So I try to read everything I can that's published about the company, in addition to all the director books that you read, but just staying current on what's going on. I start with the news clippings every day and the stock market. So you need to know the company, you need to know the industry. So I try to follow the competitors too and know what they're doing, what's on their minds, and what's going on strategically in the industry. There's pull back to the macro economy. So what's going on in the world and how could that impact your company? And then there's all the pieces of governance that are becoming, I would say, more and more challenging. And right, so how do you stay current on where cyber's going, where ESG's
Yeah.
going, your role as a director? And I read everything I can from NACD. I think they're a great organization to make us smart. So there's that. And then I spend a lot of time, I'll call the managers. I like to meet with the CEOs when we have an opportunity just for one-on-one to say, hey, tell me. And the management team, if there's things I need to be smarter on, take it offline. Other directors oftentimes, have a call offline. Did you understand that? I didn't really understand that. I didn't want to slow everybody down, but I'm really not quite there yet. So I think there's just the time in the boardroom is the smallest amount of time that you put into your board work if you do it right. It's like when you need to really be super prepared, but all the thinking really goes on before you get there.
Yeah, that is a really good point. And I don't know if anyone has articulated it in that way in this podcast yet, but may I just say that you sound like a dream director. And
No, I wish.
with all the thoughtfulness that you're putting into the information gathering, as well as the interpersonal dynamics and listening, which is, like you said, so important.
The other thing, Liz, and I say that I've learned, and you don't know this as a first-time director, is the importance of committee work. how much actually happens in the committees, right? And picking the committees that are right for you and where you can really be valuable and where you can learn the right things. But there's so much work that goes on in the committees in the room, but also offline, and the amount of work that it requires to lead a committee or be on a committee in a thoughtful way.
Yeah.
So you're on a number of compensation committees, which typically tend to be more busy than some of the other committees. And it does take a lot of time, and people talk about being overboarded just as a general board member, but they don't talk about committees overboarding.
Yeah, no, I think so. Again, you have to pick your committees wisely. I usually like to start as a new director on the audit committee because I think that's such a good way to learn the essentials and the foundation of the company. And so, and you listen a lot more than you talk in there, right? And it's, you're like a sponge. So I usually like to start there. I have gravitated though more towards both towards comp and non-gov. I like to focus on talent. So I typically do tend to focus on the comp committee or the HR committee in some cases. And you learn a lot, right? You learn a lot. And then, you know, obviously proxy season is super busy when you're on the comp committee.
So you talked a lot about valuable lessons you've learned as a director and that you continue to learn from your board service. What advice would you give to women specifically who aspire to join the boardroom?
I'd say the big advice is what, like kind of have a viewpoint on why you want to be on a board and what you do on a board. Honestly, I didn't really know them before I joined Harley. I really liked that when I was interviewing for Harley, one of the directors interviewed me and said, you're there in service of the company, which to me just lit me up. I thought that was a great way to think about it. Like you hear governance and it sounds kind of ominous, but you're there in service of the company. You want to make it great for the stakeholders, for sure the shareholders, but for the people that work for the company, right? For the customers, for the community and the organization abroad. So in service of the company, I'd say the other huge, 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 huge learning, because I remember sitting in this meeting going, what am I supposed to be doing here? Because I'm doing a lot of listening. I'm not doing a lot of doing right now. And again, when you're in an operating role, right, you're making a decision literally every second, and everything you do is watched, and you know, you have your game face on all the time as a business leader. And here it's way more thoughtful listening, way more selection on when you should say anything at all. And, you know, I heard this over and over, this whole nose in, hands out. Mm-hmm. And it's such an important aspect of it that you have to listen, you have to pay attention, but you're not running the company. So you need to say like, okay, that's the CEO's decision. Here's my role as a director and here's how I can help. So I think there's that. And then I spend a lot of time helping women think through career development. I have a lot of mentees still in the world, and a lot of them call me asking about the opportunity to serve on boards. And I usually start with, okay, why do you want to do it? What are you trying to learn? Do you know what a director does? Because this is what we do. We sit and listen and we read a ton and we get to ask like a couple questions. It's not about you at all. And so that's what we do. And you bring everything you learn your entire career, and it comes down to a sentence or two that you need to think through in a meeting and an important decision that you have to help directors make. Okay, so then you have to think about, well, then what am I bringing to the board? And I say like, what? Most boards are looking for people that have really strong operating role, leadership experience. So CEO experience, huge functional roles. So there's that deep domain expertise for sure in either in talent or in cyber. So it's like, what is it that you're bringing that people are going to find in short supply of, basically? So there's that. And then you should look at it. You can go a public company route. You can go a private route. You can go nonprofit, and I've done all, and I still do. And all of them act differently, and think about where you want to spend your time and in the kind of structure. Like the way we work on a private equity board is very different than a public company board. So I think the most challenging thing is getting your first director role, right? That's where you're cutting your teeth and that's where you're being tested. And then you learn that you build this incredible network of people that you like working with, that you're learning from constantly, keep you on your toes, because people you're sitting alongside of are really quite talented and they can outthink you in any given moment. And you need to keep up intellectually. You need to keep up, I would say, from the way you communicate. And then the management teams, and these people running companies, say they're incredible, right? And like, what are you learning from them? So I spend a lot of time on what is it you want out of the role? What are you bringing to the role? How does your style fit? And then where do you want it to lead to? Is you want to do one? You want to do maybe one and then another one? How long do you want to serve? How long are you available to serve? So to me, that's the way I think about how to evaluate. And the lessons I've learned really, again, are don't talk too much, have something important to say, and treat people's times respectfully.
Well, a theme seems to be the importance of communication and listening. And by the way, I'm sure your board colleagues are probably saying the same thing about you, like they're sitting next to this incredible person. So, but what approaches have you found to be most effective for communicating and collaborating with your fellow board members and with the management team, which, sometimes can be tricky? And then also, how do you measure and evaluate your own performance and impact as a board member once you get in there?
Really good questions. I would say the chair and the CEO play such huge roles in the way a board functions, right? The chair sets the tone. They have to be great at leading people towards a conclusion, facilitating, being open, building the culture. So I look really hard at the chair and the role the chair plays. I've learned that when you're new on a board, you need some help, right? So I always look for, what kind of input are you going to get from the management team? Really, what kind of training are you going to get so you can step up and serve alongside the others? And then I've learned that then it's up to me, right, to go and build the relationship, show up and show up well and earn respect when you're in the meeting, have something thoughtful to say and be respectful, but be clear. But then offline, I've learned I have to reach out to the directors. They can we talk? Can you help me with this? And because you only have so much face time together. Now, the good news is over the last few years, we've all learned how to build better relationships, not face to face, but it's still challenging because you're only together a little bit of time, really once a quarter, and then on our Zoom. So I think, I've learned that you need to make sure you have the right chair. The CEO has to be open to working with the board, and the board needs to be open to working with the CEO. The CEO runs the business, right? You have to be proactive in how you learn, how you ask questions, how you follow up. I like visiting the sites. When I was with GE, our board had a requirement they had to do two site visits a year. And that really stuck with me as an operating leader because our board showed up and they had to learn without, the CEO of the company. They were just there with the management team getting deep in a complicated company. And I think that's a good thing. And I felt like that made them better directors. And I think the other way I can add value is sharing insights on things that I learned from the other companies that I work with. Many companies, different industries, right? Different management teams, different competitors, but many of the same, talent, as we all went through COVID, talent, diversity, AI. How are we using AI today? There's themes, right? So what have I learned that could be helpful? Are there advisors that other boards have used that have been, I would say, eye-opening to us and trying to help share that. And I'd say on the value-added piece is honestly, it's such a big question because again, like when I started serving on the Harley board 7 years ago, I'm like, what did I just do? I sat in this meeting and I listened, but I didn't tell anyone what to do and I didn't make a decision. I didn't make a dime for anyone, right? But I learned that's because that's not my role. That's not what I'm supposed to be doing. So now what I try to do is before I go to a meeting or a call, say, here's the two to three things I want to make sure that I learned because I'm unclear. Here's the two or three things that I want to support. Here's the two or three things I think I have a question on. And then later I go, did I accomplish that? Sometimes I go like, no, it was totally inappropriate time to ask that. We had more important things, or I did. I learned that I didn't need to worry about that, or I did, and I should be very worried about that. And this is what I'm gonna go do getting out of this meeting. And then over time I tried to evaluate myself on did I speak when I had something important to say? Did I do it in a way that was, I would say, helpful? And was I constructive in the way I came across?
You might be one of our most introspective guests that we've talked to about how they sort of think about board service, not just the actions of sitting in the room and talking to the company and providing your insight for all of your experiences, but just also how you go back and evaluate your own performance in the boardroom.
I to me that's kind of how I, but I grew up in a world where you're always doing performance reports. How'd you do? What'd you get done? So I'm like, okay, what did I do? I hope I did something.
Well, the question that we ask all of our guests is, what do you think women in the corporate governance field can add to the current conversation on the societal role of companies?
Another very topical question, right? As we all struggle in this world, is what is the role of a company in society? And I think I would say what I find exciting about the women that I work with is we've all gotten to this point because we've done something pretty special in our career, right? I look at the other women directors and the other men directors, like you've gotten there because you've done some really big, heavy operating roles. You've served that school of hard knocks. You've You've made numbers, you've delivered for shareholders, you've developed great talent, you've changed businesses, you've made mistakes, you've picked yourself back up, you've transformed companies. So you have a lot to offer. You've learned a lot. You're in the place you are because you are a learner. You cannot be, that's in the top of the business world if you're not a lifelong learner, because you will fail if you don't keep learning. So what I say is, so we've learned a lot, and then it comes down to trusting your instincts. Like, what have you learned, and what's your gut telling you you should be speaking up about? So I would say, I coach our women that listen to the tone of the board and the company. What do they think the role should be in society? And then give your point of view. It may not be everyone's point of view, but you want to make sure your point of view is heard. And if your gut's telling you should still keep talking, you should still keep talking about it. You should still keep pushing until you're satisfied. It's either the right answer or the wrong answer or the not right now answer.
Very sound advice. So thank you for that response, Mary Rose, and thanks for joining us today.
Great. Nice to be with both of you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Our pleasure. For those who are listening, we want to thank you as well. Please subscribe to Women Governance Trailblazers on whatever platform you use for podcasts, and we would love if you would rate us while you're there. And in addition, if you know a Women Governance Trailblazer who you think would be a great guest on this show, please feel free to ping Courtney or me on either LinkedIn or by email. We're always looking for great guests. Thanks, everyone.